don't remember them. Sorry, I'm late. And I'm sorry you got miserable, 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 miserable lunch, which is not fair. But I'm speaking to the secretariat and to the committee assistants. It's not fair to have people coming to the meeting at lunchtime and there is no lunch or something close to lunch. And most people are coming from committees. I'd like to apologize about that. I wasn't aware. I'm sorry, AG representative. I had to raise that one because it would be good if people had a full stomach and they're ready to do the work, because with some of them, maybe from here they'll be going to other committees, I'm not sure. But I'd like to welcome everybody coming from the constituency period and constituency work, and I hope everybody worked well and everybody was well, except the chairperson who was admitted, but that's not the issue. Over to you, AG.
We have debated.
I'm talking so loud and talking about food. All of you. And talking about food for all of you, it means that I am well. After all, I've got a phobia for food, so it's okay. Over to you, AG. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, all.
Oh, maybe you don't know I am the chairman of the committee. On my right is Busiso Khuzwayo, who is the content advisor for this committee. On my right is the face of the committee, who is the secretary, Jerry Boldina. And then the rest of the members will introduce themselves from you.
Afternoon, everyone. My name is Lusizo Makubela, a member of the portfolio committee.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams, and I'm a member of the portfolio committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sheila Kreko, a member of the committee. Thank you. All protocol observed. My name is Simpiwe Bekwa, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. My name is Manuku Masahela, the member of the committee.
Afternoon, everyone. My name is Greg Crumbuck. I'm also a member of the portfolio committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Melanie Pankers, PLO in the Office of the Minister.
Good afternoon. Petra Flanika, PLO in the Office of the Director General Tourism.
Afternoon, everybody. Ismail Hussain from PMG.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, good afternoon. I'm Vinay Rambari from the Auditor General. I'm responsible for the tourism portfolio audit within the Auditor General. So I do both the national department as well as South African tourism.
Sorry, everything.
Okay, sorry, Chairperson, to disrupt. Chair, I've got just one apology from Mr. Force.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The purpose of me being here is to share with the committee, twofold. It's to share with the committee the criteria that we will be using to assess the level of assurance provided by the committee, and secondly, to obtain certain commitments. And in the tourism portfolio, it's more around commitments to sustain the audit outcomes which have been clean for the past year. So that is twofold, the presentation. And lastly, I will touch on the 2017-18 annual performance plan, the proactive review that we did for the national department, and then some issues around the South African tourism as well. So as I said, the purpose of the presentation is basically to share with the committee the criteria that we'll be using to assess assurance. It will allow me to move into our reputation promise. And the key thing that comes out of our reputation promise is around strengthening our country's democracy and enabling oversight. And that's where the role of the committee is the oversight function that it performs over the tourism portfolio. And our aim through this process and in evaluating a level of assurance is to support the committee, to say, committee, when we do the BRRR process, for instance, we say, committee, these are things that we're picking up is going well, these are things that we're picking up is not going so well, but not only with the committee, but with all levels. You'll note when I come to the combined level of assurance, you'll see different levels. So our aim here is to support and assist the committee to be effective in executing its oversight function, and that thereby holding people accountable. And I think in the tourism portfolio, it's working well because you've got your department which has got a clean audit and also the entity which has got a clean audit. So things are working well. And also you must just remember from the Auditor General, we just look at it from a narrow, very narrow perspective. We're looking at your financial reporting. We're looking at the committee's role in terms of reviewing the performance reporting, that's the quarterly performance report, the annual performance report, the annual performance plan, and also looking at compliance matters and how effective is the accounting officer and the accounting authority in discharging its responsibilities. Is it taking action, corrective action? Is it acting on recommendations to improve the administration? So that's the role that we play as the Auditor General. And as I said, the purpose is basically to share with the committee the criteria that we'll be looking at and obtain commitment around sustaining the audit outcome in the portfolio. The committee receives its mandate, or its broad mandate, it's a very broad mandate from the Constitution, which empowers the National Assembly to basically oversee executive organs of state. And one of the mechanisms that the National Assembly uses is the Portfolio Committee to be able to execute that mandate. So as a committee, you would look at certain things throughout the process. And as I say, the committee has got a broad mandate. But when we're looking at this, we're looking at it purely how does it impact us in terms of our role as the Auditor General. So we are aware that the committee does a lot more work, but we're not looking at all of those other things. We're looking at it from a very narrow perspective, Honorable Chairman. Then I just touch on the role of the committee is basically the oversight function that it's got from the Constitution and making sure that service delivery happens within the portfolio, specifically the tourism portfolio. In terms of the combined assurance model, you'll note three levels of assurance. And when we share the BRRR assessment, Honorable Chairperson, we do share with you the levels of assurance that is provided by the different levels. Where you've got your first level, your senior managers, your accounting officers and accounting authorities, and obviously the executive authority. So when we do that, we're sharing with the committee with an aim to say, committee, take note, levels of assurance may be lacking in certain areas, and this is a recommendation that we try and make to improve those levels of assurance. Then the second level of assurance that we'll share with the committee as well is what is internal audit, how effective is internal audit in the tourism portfolio, how effective are the audit committees. So using that information, it will support the committee when making the recommendation through the various engagements that you have with the department and also the entity, is to say the Auditor General raised a concern around internal audit for you. What are you doing about it? How do you plan to make it more effective? And then obviously the third level of assurance is gained through the Public Accounts Committee, which is the SOPA, and then the Oversight, which is the Portfolio Committee. So what we're focusing now is the criteria that we'd be using to evaluate and to show how effective, or how do we see the effectiveness of the committee around providing that oversight. And just based on three areas, I'll come to the three areas. The first criteria, or the first area that we'll be looking at, is around the budget process. So there typically would be looking at the BRRR process. And Honorable Chairperson, you'll note that quite a bit of the things that we'll be looking at is because we don't attend all your committee meetings. So quite a bit of the things that we'll be looking at is the portfolio committee minutes, for instance, to see what was the nature of the engagement, what were the questions that were asked, what were the recommendations that were made by the committee. And we'll take those recommendations and we'll go back to the department and say, portfolio committee made these recommendations, let's see how you've done in terms of implementing those recommendations. So that's the first area, would be budgets. The second area would be performance information linked to service delivery. So that's typically where you'd look at your annual performance plan that comes to the committee for approval or recommending for approval. Then we'd look at the annual performance reports, or the committee would look at the annual performance report, look at areas of concern that the committee might have around specifically things that are not being achieved or not being met, or driving the wrong thing. So those are the things that we'd be looking at. Obviously, you'd look at quarterly performance reports as well. So we'd look at how is the committee engaging the department or the portfolio in general around these areas, and what are the recommendations that the committee is making. So there's other things as well under performance information. If there was a performance audit done by the Auditor General, was that deliberated at the committee? What were some of the insights that the committee made around the performance audit that was done? And then lastly, we'll be looking at our report, because we come to the committee, we share with the committee the reports that we present, and what is the insight that the committee would be making around that, based on our feedback to the committee to say, committee, honorable chairperson, we've audited, these are things that we picked up not working so well, these are the things that we picked up working well, and this is how we think, that's why I say the recommendations, this is how we think things can improve, or things could be sustained in this case. That goes further into the Auditor General's report. So basically, the things that we pick up, what does the committee make, what does the committee require in terms of corrective actions from the department, is that being monitored, is it being enforced? And then the assessment outcome, you note three colors there, the one where we say provides assurance, the second level would be provide some assurance, and then provide little or no assurance at all. And this is for the information of the committee, because it's part of the BRRR process, that where we share this with the committee. So looking at the different role players in the combined assurance model, and what we've noted is that where things are working well, where your first level of assurance, your second level of assurance, and your third level of assurance are working well, it normally leads to accountability, it leads to good governance, and ultimately clean administration. So we pick up the correlation between the two. But what I'm saying is, it's not directly linked to the ultimate audit outcome. So the committee could be doing well, but other levels of role players or the other assurance providers could not be doing well. So that would give rise to a negative audit outcome. And then the proposed commitments that we're seeking from the portfolio committee. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, this is just certain recommendations or proposals that we make around commitments. And as I did mention, the tourism portfolio is in a good space in terms of its audit outcomes. So what we're saying is there is already a good leadership culture, one that is committed to good governance and ethical behavior. So what we're saying is, through the regular engagement, is make sure that people are held accountable for things that might slip through the cracks. And where things are slipping through the cracks, holding people accountable and enforcing compliance. What we've also noted around a good best practice within the portfolio is skilled people, human resource practices, skilled people. So just making sure that when you engage with the portfolio, that you do touch on skills issues, you do touch on vacancies, for instance, and the management of vacancies, how is that being managed? And lastly, the basic disciplines of internal control. And what we recommending or proposing is that the committee, when it does engage the department and the public entity throughout the year. You would have various engagements. Is to touch on how are things going, what is the status of your controls, are things being managed well, and you'd also pick it up through your review of the quarterly reports, performance and financial reports. What is happening around the performance, specifically when you're looking at the quarterly performance report? How is the entity or department performing? Is it on track to achieve targets, or what is happening? And in terms of the financial management, how are they spending? What are the areas where they're spending? Are you picking up possibilities that there could be overspending of a budget or spending on the wrong thing? So that would be the insights that the committee could look at. Honorable Chairperson, that is in terms of the presentation. If you'd allow me to just touch on the other areas that I just promised. And that is to touch on the annual performance plan. What we did do, or what we do annually as part of value add, is we do a proactive audit of the, or review of the annual performance plan. So we've done it for the 2017-18 year, and we try and do it before it comes to the committee, so that if there's anything to be fixed up, it can be fixed up before it comes to the committee. So we've done that just for the department, Honorable Chairperson, and in looking at that, and we look at it in sort of a very narrow criteria. We just look at it in terms of when we look at the indicators and the targets, and we look at technical indicator descriptions, can we see that it meets the smart criteria in terms of being useful? And then we also try, and going forward, we'll also try and do this, is where we're going to try and look at the completeness of the indicators and targets. Does it link to the mandate directly? And is there anything else in the environment, for instance, the State of the Nation address? Was there anything from there that was placed onto the tourism portfolio, and has it been incorporated into the annual performance plan? So we do that as well. So as I say, for the department, we've done it. There were no concerns around the smartness of the targets and indicators. So basically, I've got good news that there was nothing. In terms of South African tourism, we didn't do the proactive review, Honorable Chairperson. But what we've been picking up, and I think the committee has also been raising this issue, is around the certain indicators, like the tourist arrival, the revenue spend, the number of business events, etc., where they were setting a target based on a calendar year, and they were receiving money for a financial performance. So we've raised that with the CEO, and what he's going to do, or what he's agreed to do, is he says the 2017-18 APP is already approved, it's finalized. So they cannot now go and amend to set new calendar year targets. So going forward from 2018-19, they will set two sets of targets for those indicators. They'll set one for the calendar year, which aligns to the UNWTO, the World Tourism Organization, where they've got a responsibility to report. So they'll have two sets of targets, the one that talks to the calendar year and the one that talks to the financial performance year. But for the 16-17 year and the 17-18 year, what they're going to do is they'll have the calendar year target, but they'll report two sets of achievements, the achievement for the calendar year and the achievement for the financial performance year, with an explanation as to what it means and why the reporting on two sets of targets. So the CEO is willing and agreed to that. So, Honorable Chairperson, that's what I wanted to share with you, something that we did raise. And it was a concern from us, for us, from an audit perspective, being given a budget for a financial year, but you're reporting things based on a calendar. Honorable Chairperson, that is my point.
Thank you very much. I'm opening up for discussion, questions, or comments, and whatever. I'm waiting for help from members. Honorable Bewa, Honorable Makubela, Honorable Trego, Honorable Krumbok. In that order, please.
Now, thanks, Chair, and let me appreciate the presentation from the AG. I've got at least two questions. let me just say thank you for the information that the department has got at Linorec. But over and above, I want to understand that out of that, if you pick up any findings as an AG to the department, what do you do? How do you correct them to make them to just to get a clean audit? That is the first question. Since you have said you are doing oversight, like us as a committee, you are doing oversight. How do you assess them? Do you assess them on the information that has been given to you? Or you've got a mechanism that you are using to get information from the department before they give you any document to for assess them? Thank you very much.
My question is the question around just the last explanation which you've given to us around the issues of targets and how the reporting of the entity reports based on the calendar year versus the financial year. Now, we've raised this as a committee as a concern, and I don't know what are the steps or which route should we follow that would allow or ensure that the entity reports as per the financial year standards. Because, I mean, if the PFMA and Treasury regulations speak about uniformity in the public sector, it talks about also such issues so that you don't get so that departments are able or entities are able to conform to the standards that are set out there, so that we are able to monitor and do our oversight work correctly. So, but this has been an issue ever since we've been in the committee, to say their reporting structure and their calendar year versus the financial year of government is not the same. How do we correct such so that there is a synergy and there's uniformity?
Thank you. Let me join my colleagues in appreciating whatever you have presented in front of us. What I wanted to check is, there's this new thing of coming up with this combined assurance model, which I appreciate. But for me to understand its importance and its value to what we're doing, there are some questions that I would like to ask. Whether there was any gap that we have identified in what we have been doing as a committee, or plus in a case where we do not perform as expected, will that inform your final determination when you give your auditing of the department? Are you also extending your scope to also consider adding the committee to your responsibility of auditing the department, or are you just doing this to make sure that we sustain, as you have said, you sustain the audit outcome that has always been a history of clean audit in the department? If so, what will happen if you don't get what to expect from us? Let me make an example. You proposing that you're supposed to look at the minutes, look at the recommendations, look at how we engage the department. If you do not get that, let's have a scenario where you will that inform your final determination when you judging the department? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. This is not the usual type of presentation we get towards the committee. It's a bit different. It's this time it also includes an assessment of ourselves. That's what the AG is telling us. Did the committee consider performance audit reports and did the committee itself do their job? So I'll be interested to see, now that we know what the criteria are that we will be assessed on ourselves, just what this report looks like from the AG when it is tabled before us. So I think it is important that every sphere of government, including ourselves, also play their role. One of the things that worries me is that we're at a huge disadvantage in the sense that when we get reports, we get consolidated figures, we get globular things which may or may not include queries we've raised in the past or recommendations we might have made in this committee. And without having sort of had anything other than the entity that's reporting to us, without having had anything other than their report, it's quite hard to know sometimes what to look for and how far to drill down. We don't do the internal audits, for example. That's their own job, and oversight is conducted externally from an audit point of view by the AG himself. So in a sense, the committee is not that well placed to look at particularly financial reports other than to look at the headline figures that stand out. We don't really know how those figures are comprised when it drills right down to a number of structures that actually incur those costs. So we ask questions and we make recommendations, and sometimes we are told that we will be given the answers at the next session. But sometimes a session can take a year before that entity comes around again, and very few people remember what it is we asked that time. And sometimes I don't even think the people that report us remember that that was a question from last year. So I'm interested to find out if the AG is going through committee minutes to assess how well we are doing our job. Do they look at those kind of questions and check to see whether the entities themselves are giving answers to things that we've asked for which aren't necessarily clear from the reports they're given? Because without that, it simply becomes a ritualistic exercise. They come here, we look at the figures, we ask questions that we think are contained in the figures, but we're not really all that sure. And I'd like to hear what the AG suggests this committee should do in terms of having greater access and be able to drill down a bit further. So let me give another example. We went to these projects that were taken over by the department. We saw one in Mpumalanga, which we all agreed was very badly run. Lots of money being spent. Quite clearly, it was used to feather bed a lot of people who didn't really have a job to do. A financial manager or a manager of the project that was paid a vast amount of money for very little work. Buildings falling down, income figures that were distorted because the loss didn't actually include the grant, which makes the loss a whole lot bigger, all that kind of stuff. Where does that go to? We write a committee report. We accept it in this committee. We are admirably non-party political in this committee, by and large. We express our concerns, and then the months roll by. Does anyone remember what we said a year later? Who's following up to see that, in fact, the concerns we raise are addressed? I mean, we don't often go back to the same place that we visited. I find it hard to think of a single example of some of the more worrying CSI projects that we've actually gone back to a year later or 2 years later to see if there's been an improvement. Does the AG look into things like that and check to see where the trail ends and whether, in fact, there's been a turnaround for some of the things that this committee in a very unified and very, if I can use the word, patriotic way, across party lines, identifies those problems? Who makes sure that those problems actually are resolved and that our reports that we write and agree to unanimously are in fact acted on? Because I think there's a kind of, to me, I get the impression that the follow-through, and I include myself in that, isn't always what it should be, and one would like to think that there's some kind of mechanism. Can we just get some input from the AG on how he sees that process going forward?
Mm-hmm.
those are the questions. Maybe I'll re-emphasize what has been said. In the past, we said we would actually love to see the performance audit, because what the member has just completed is we've been out there where activity has taken place, and when we go back, we never go back because we've got to take care of 9 provinces. But the state of those places we go to is really pathetic. And you feel, good Lord, the taxpayers' money here was thrown to the pigs, not even to the dogs. So if at all the AG's office, whatever, into the sea or whatever, if at all the AG would have a way of a performance audit, at least for value for money, but we've been told that is not really truly within your jurisdiction at this point in time. So I wouldn't say who should be doing it, because I'm sure there is somebody who is doing it, but we've got to find who is doing it. That is one. And what the previous member also spoke about was about the quarterly report, especially with the entity. I think it sort of appeases us that you raise the issue with them, because ever since we came to this committee in 2014, we've been getting the report that are more inclined towards the WTO, and we've been re-emphasizing to say, fair enough, we would like to see what WTO is expecting of you and what is happening in WTO. But here, you are to respond to the PFMA Section 32 and respond to that. And, you know, those reports, 42, 32, all the tools. And, you know, especially when it comes to the fourth quarter, because with them, the first quarter was from January to December, to June. Second quarter was from, you know, and it does not serve the purpose of the PFMA. And we cannot actually establish how the entity has been spending its money. So we've been dreaming that at least now that you also have assisted in drilling that, we think we might get a better response. We even have come to the extent to say, fair enough, report about your WTO, but we are more interested in the PFMA. WTO, we're interested in the arrival from all over the world, and we're interested in domestic tourism and whatever, but we are following the money here for each quarter, because at the end of it all, you find that by the third quarter, they are still reporting on the spend on the first and second quarter. So it sort of confuses, but I think we already somehow got used to it, but we keep happy. I think with that one, you actually assisted the committee, because we're still going to do it. And you also, please do continue to do it. But now, just out of curiosity, the department has got an award as the best department in the economic cluster. What distinguishes it from other departments in the economic cluster? Thank you very much. Actually, it was even the best department in the Batupili principal thing, and the best DG amongst the DGs. But what I'm interested in particular, is the economic cluster part.
Honorable Chairperson, I'll try and respond to all the questions. Okay, the first question around how do we correct errors identified during the audit is in fact not that we don't correct the errors. We identify the misstatements or the errors, and we allow the department or the entity an opportunity to fix up. Should they be able to fix it up, then we go towards the green order. should they not be able to fix it up, then we start moving towards the sort of negative audit outcome. And then we also audit in terms on a sample basis, so obviously we don't pick up every single mistake that's identified. And we also use a certain, what we call a materiality, which is a threshold, a tolerance level, if I can call it that. We're willing to say that if something is misstated by that amount, we're willing to feel comfortable that it's not totally misstated. So again, those are some of the principles that we use in the audit. How do we assess the department? Well, what we do with the department is through the audit process. So we look at various documents. We look at the quarterly report, performance and financial reports. We'd assess the internal controls that they have in place. And through all of that process, we'd come up with an assessment of who is doing what they should be doing and who is not doing what they should be doing. So that's how we get to the different levels of assurance. So it's typically informed by things that we pick up on the audit. So if we pick up things that, like errors in the financial statements or errors in the performance report, who didn't do what they should be doing? Was it a skills issue? So people are not capable of what they're supposed to be doing? Was it an issue of the leadership not reviewing things properly? So that's how we come to that conclusion, and that's how we assess the different levels of assurance. In terms of the SAT reporting issue, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member, like I did indicate, the CEO is now on board in terms of correcting it. So I just say from your side, and we'd also do it from our side, is just to keep that pressure on to make sure it is corrected. Well, as he did indicate, or his willingness to do that for this year is to report two sets of achievements. But from 2018-19, you'll see two sets of targets and two sets of achievements. So for the next year, 2 years, you just see one target but two sets of achievements. So as I say, things are moving in the right direction. We will keep the pressure from our side, because should they fail to do that, then obviously we've got a concern from an audit perspective, and it will lead to a negative audit outcome. The fourth issue of combined assurance. And why it is important. With this whole King 3, now King 4, what we're looking at is there's various role players that contribute toward a good governance environment, a clean administration. There's various role players. And what we've seen as the Auditor General is that should all the role players play their part, you'd ultimately get your clean audit outcome. But should you have something lacking in there, then that would point to a negative audit outcome. And what we're trying to, and what we're saying is that we're here to support the committee to say, committee, pay attention to this area, it's not working well. Or pay attention to that area, it's not working well. And it's linked to the root causes, is, as I said before, is who is not doing what they should be doing. And the question around, if there's a gap identified, well, there were no gaps that we've identified with this committee in particular, but we did identify gaps with other committees where we felt that the oversight effectiveness was not strong enough to be able to drive towards the clean administration. And how will the assessment of this committee impact on the final audit outcome of the department or the entity? It will not affect it. We do an independent audit. We provide a reasonable assurance on the financial statement, performance reporting, and the compliance with laws and regulations. So that assessment doesn't impact the ultimate audit outcome. And then the other question around is, if we don't get what is expected, what will happen? All we'll do is we'll say, committee, we've looked at the criteria, we've seen there were certain gaps here. This is how we recommend things should improve. And as I said, it's for the information of the committee. It's just to help build that effective oversight. The question around the self, it is, in fact, the Honorable Member was correct, it is in fact a self-assess. It's to reflect on the work that the committee is doing and to see where can we improve. And I think that's what we try to do as the Auditor General, is to also look at it. You would do your own self-assessment, and we would do it But just based on certain narrow criteria, Honorable Chairperson, those three areas that I touched on is budget, performance information, and obviously our report. So we can work together in this, in terms of you do your self-assessment, we do an assessment, and we just help each other strengthen the oversight around the portfolio. I understand the Honorable Member's comment around being sort of at a disadvantage where you're just presented with information and then there's no sort of follow-up action. And my recommendation around that, Honorable Chairperson, is that what the committee could do is to look at maybe a tracking document to say, these are the concerns we've had with the department, these are the concerns that we've had with the entity. This is the recommendations that we put forward. And then on a quarterly basis, is to request a feedback on that tracking document. To say, like you report quarterly on your performance, like you report quarterly on your financial statement numbers, give us feedback on how you're implementing our recommendations. That would be my recommendation around this. In terms of what we do when we look at the minutes of the committee meetings, Honorable Chairperson, what we do is we use that information from a risk assessment point of view. So we look at the recommendations, what are the concerns the committee is raising? Like typically the issue of the inconsistent reporting for the entity, for instance. So what are the concerns that the committee is raising? And how do we build it into our risk assessment, and how do we do follow-up in terms of the recommendation that the committee has made? Typically around the EPWP issue, we've noted concerns from various role players, one being the committee. There was also a desktop review that was done. So we look at those various sources of information and it directs us in terms of where should we focus on the audit. What are the key touch points that we should look at? And that would feed through into anything that we report back to the committee. So I did touch on the follow-up mechanism in terms of my recommendation around having a tracking document. And I did touch on how we use that information from the committee in terms of the minutes. Honorable Chairperson, your request for a performance audit, it is within our jurisdiction to do performance audits. It is within the Public Audit Act. It is one of those things that we can do. What we're saying at this stage is the department is doing quite a bit around the EPWP project specifically. They've got a desktop preview. The DG is quite active. He's done a whole restructuring around the monitoring of the EPWP project, where he's taken away sort of the provincial program managers, and it's now sort of centralized. It's segregated in terms of functions. So what we want to do is we want to allow that process to evolve first. And thereafter, if we still feel the need for a performance audit, then we could follow that up. But what we're saying is allow the department the space to be able to clean up on that area first. Quarterly reports are set. I think I did touch on that, where I did say that the CEO is now on board in terms of his reporting and his alignment to the financial performance. Lastly, Chairperson, your question around the best performing department in the economic cluster, unfortunately I cannot comment on what criteria was used. I cannot comment on what criteria was used, but I'm sure one of the criteria would be the issue of audit outcomes. How are they managing audit outcomes? How are they managing action, taking action? In terms of the DG himself and but that's what I touched around the best practices, is the culture of ethical leadership, committed to take accountability for their actions. So the human resource side of things, the skills, the competencies. So I'm sure those would be some of the criteria that would be used, but as I say, I cannot comment on the comprehensiveness of that.
can you explain how real a budget changes to nominal and what affects it in the interim? There is the, when it comes to budgeting and budget, there is the real, say maybe 6.8 is real, nominal 0.19. What's the difference? You're not with me. No, fine. That was good. My colleague has responded. But you can add on if you...
No, I was just trying to understand the context.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. You are released because we're talking committee,
okay.
Not committee, but that is
okay. No, that's fine. I'm so relieved.